And now we're going to open our Bibles. Praise God. I do want to mention before we get started, we are having a grill out after the service. And the way we're going to do it this time, you can either eat indoors or you can eat outdoors. We put one table outside already, and we can put more out there if more people would like to eat outside. Just let us know after the service, and we'll put the tables wherever anyone wants to sit. Praise God. But we thought we'd give people the option because we know that it might be hot and there might be mosquitoes. But if you want to eat out there, that's perfectly all right. So just let us know. Praise God. We are going to open our Bibles, and we are going to start in Hebrews chapter 11. I am putting a title on this message today. We are calling this message, Meet Your Maker. Meet your Maker. Now, you know, the phrase meet your Maker has become a sort of idiom in this age where it refers to when people leave this earth. And, you know, it's often actually used as a threat. Prepare to meet your Maker. You see that on TV and movies and books and so forth. And, you know, it's a common phrase, prepare to meet your Maker. And that's something that people will say usually when someone's about to die or leave this earth. But I'm here to tell you today that you do not have to wait until you pass from this life into the next to meet your Maker. You can meet your Maker today. And that is something that every Christian must have done at some point, or you wouldn't be a Christian. But we live in a strange world today where a lot of people don't even believe they have a Maker. Isn't that bizarre? They think that everything just got here by itself. All one big cosmic accident, you know. There was a big bang, and then things started happening, things started growing. And of course, there's one little problem with that, and that is that they cannot explain where the energy to create the Big Bang came from. But that's not a problem for us because we know there's a God in heaven, and we know that He has always been, and that He is our Maker, and that He made us. We are going to be starting in Hebrews chapter 11 in just a moment for a few verses, but before we read even one verse, we're going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for all that Thou hast done. We know, God, that Thou art our Creator, that Thou art our Maker, and we are so appreciative for all that Thou hast given us and for all that Thou hast done for us. Help us to look to Thee as our Savior, O God, for we know that there is none other. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would inspire our souls. Inspire us to our very core today, O God, to strive to be like Thee, to strive to please Thee and to do Thy will. We pray, Lord, that Thy blessing would be here as we look upon Thy Scripture. We pray, Lord, that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Give us the spirit of discernment and understanding. Let there be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us. We pray, Lord, that Thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we ask for Thy blessing and Thy anointing here this day. In Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Oh yes, we have a Maker. And that shouldn't be hard to understand. You know, people look around at things in this world. They walk by a house sometimes and they look at it and they say, oh, what beautiful architecture. And they know that somebody designed that house, that somebody built that house, that somebody made that house. And yet they walk out into nature, oh, what a beautiful tree. Nobody designed that. Oh, look at these beautiful flowers. They just grew that way. Nobody designed those. And, of course, you can look at the human body, which is a marvel. In fact, the human body is a miracle. You are a miracle. But they can even look at the human body and say, oh, it just evolved that way. Oh, no. That's not the case. We have a Maker. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith of course, has substance. And sometimes people ask, well, how do you know that there is a God? And we know by faith. And someone who does not have that faith is not going to understand it. But to us, that faith is the evidence of our God. We may not have seen him with physical eyes, but we know that he is there, and we know that he is here right now. The faith is the evidence. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Everything that came forth, everything in a solar system, the planets, the stars, the asteroids, the comets, everything that's up there was spoken into existence by God. Because that is the power of his voice. And this whole planet, all of the oceans, all of the landmass, all of the people, all of the animals, all of the vegetation, everything that exists in nature was spoken into existence by God. We know that he made this world. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And we know that Abel, yes, he offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and it pleased him, and his brother Cain did not. He offered a sacrifice, an offering to God, but it did not please the Lord for whatever reason. And we know that in Cain's jealousy, he actually slew Abel, and that was the first ever recorded murder. And that's sad, but the scriptures tell us that Abel's blood speaks from the ground, and it still does, even to this day. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And people might think sometimes, oh, that's wonderful. Enoch pleased the Lord so much that he was translated. He was taken early. He was just taken from this world and he got to dwell with the Lord. And that is neat. But I have good news for you. We too are going to be translated. Translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that's what happened to us when we pass from this life to the next. We are translated. Just as Enoch was translated, we too will be translated if we please God. Praise the Lord. But verse 6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is step number one. Before you can ever come to God, before you can ever repent of your sins, you have to acknowledge his existence. You have to acknowledge that he is real. And people who refuse to do that are living in denial, because there is evidence of our Creator all over this world. We see it every day. We experience it every day with every breath of our body. With every heartbeat, that is evidence that there is a God. Because the scriptures tell us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You can read that in Psalm 139, verse 14. But you cannot please God without faith in him, without acknowledging that he is. That should be the very core of our existence. That we have a God who made us. And so we acknowledge that here today. We acknowledge that our God exists, that he is. And we also know that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Don't just do so half-heartedly, but seek Him with a whole heart. Praise God. Put some effort into it. And when you do that, He will come to you. He will be with you. Praise the Lord. But you have to seek Him. Now, there is no doubt that God is our Maker, that He is our Creator. But it wasn't a team of creators that made this universe. There was only one God who did it. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45. Praise the Lord. Now this is a very interesting chapter in the book of Isaiah because it's going to start out talking about a king named Cyrus. Cyrus was a powerful king who was chosen by God to set the Israelites free so that they could go back to their home country. And this Cyrus may have thought that this was all his idea, but it wasn't. This was all part of God's plan, which just goes to show that God can use anyone. Cyrus didn't even know the Lord, and yet the Lord chose to use him. We're going to see that. It was the Lord who picked him, and it is the Lord who picks us. He does the choosing. Isaiah 45, starting with verse 1, tells us, "Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel." And I love these declarative statements. There's no wishy-washiness here. None of God saying, I might do this or I'm going to try to do that. He just says, I'm going to do this, and that's it. Verse 4, "For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." He didn't pick the Lord. The Lord picked him, and He gave him a special job to do, all for the benefit of the Jewish people. Verse 5, and by the way, the reason the Jewish people got that benefit is because later on down the road, a Messiah was going to come forth named Jesus. That's what it's always about in Scripture. Jesus is the center and focal point of this book. And you can find that all throughout the Old Testament too. But I love this chapter because God declares His sovereignty and He makes it abundantly clear that there are no other gods. He also makes it abundantly clear that He is our Maker. Verse 5, "I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else." There isn't a pantheon of gods. There's only one. And all those other so-called deities are imposters. They are phonies. They are devils. Praise God. Verse 7, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." Now, people ask about this verse sometimes. What does this mean? Does the Lord really create evil? Well, it's a matter of perspective. When it says that He creates evil here, He's referring to... We know that everything God does is good, but what He's referring to here is what people perceive as evil. Sometimes God does things and they think, well, that was evil, that was wrong. But He's never wrong. So that's looking at it from the human perspective. humans look at the things that he does sometimes and declare it to be evil. But we know that our God does no wrong. Praise God. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. And what has the Lord created? Everything. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. People do that, don't they? They strive with their maker. Every time you get a scientist or a school teacher that gets up and declares evolution, they are striving with their maker. They are denying their maker. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd, and that refers to earthenware made of clay, pottery, and things like that. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. People question God sometimes, don't they? They question their maker. Well, if there is a God, why is there so much evil in the world? If there is a God, why does he allow this and why does he allow that? People, they get so stubborn and they think that they're so smart and they actually become little gods unto themselves. Sometimes these people who think they're so knowledgeable and have so much wisdom, but they have so much wisdom that they become fools. And of course, that's earthly wisdom anyway. We need God's wisdom. But people strive with their maker. And that is a losing battle. You will never win striving with your maker. You will never win opposing with your maker because he is sovereign. His will always be done. You can't beat the Lord. So it's far better to just obey his will and be in his will. Let him lead you. Praise God. Verse 10, woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? And I don't know, perhaps people do that sometimes too. They ask their parents, well, why did you even have me? That's a bad thing to do, but people get that way sometimes. Verse 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. He made this entire universe. Every star, every planet, everything in the cosmos. Praise God. Verse 13. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let... Let me just turn the page here. Praise God. And he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. And again, he's talking about Cyrus there. And Cyrus did those things because it was God's will that he did so. And of course, as I mentioned before, he probably thought that was all his own idea, but it wasn't. It was God's will. God will use whomever he will use, and he will do whatever he will do. You can't stop him. You can't change him. He is eternal. He is almighty. And when he says that he will do something, he does it every time. Every time. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabians, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains, they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, Surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. There is no other God besides the Lord. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Not only is God our Maker, but He is our Savior. And there's only one Savior. In fact, in Isaiah 43:11, it tells us, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. But you know what's interesting? You open the New Testament and it tells us that Jesus Christ is the Savior. In fact, Luke chapter 2, verse 11 tells us, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So you know what that means? It means that Jesus Christ is God. Because there's only one Savior. God declared Himself to be the Savior. But the Scriptures also tell us that Jesus is the Savior. The singular one Savior. Isaiah 45 verse 16 tells us, They shall be ashamed and awful confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. You see, that's what happens to people who trust in false gods, false deities, false idols. They will be turned to confusion. Verse 17, But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. And God's people are saved eternally. But we need to keep in mind that not all they that are in Israel, are not all they that are of Israel are Israel, the Scriptures tell us, meaning referring to natural Israel, not everyone in natural, physical Israel on this earth is part of that Israel of God. And that was true even in the Old Testament, actually. Not every Jew in the Old Testament was saved. God poured out judgment time and time again. And I guarantee you, when God opened the earth and swallowed up some rebellious people, they didn't go to heaven afterward. So, just remember that just because someone is a Jew doesn't necessarily mean that they are saved. We know that to be true from the Word of God. But God's people are saved, and He came and He's gathered His people together at Calvary, but He also came to gather together the Gentiles and bring them all together into one fold. Praise God, there's only one fold now, one Church of God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Praise God. You'll see in the kingdom of God, things are always singular. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. You know, when He made this planet, He made it to be inhabited. And of course, we know it's been contaminated by sin, and we know that sin has a destructive effect on this earth. And eventually, this earth will wear old like a garment. It will wear out. In fact, we see that happening already. But the good news is that God is making a whole new one, a new heaven, a new earth. And He's making that one to be inhabited as well. Praise the Lord. Verse 19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Yes, He does. And I tell you what, if you're really, truly seeking the Lord, it is never in vain. And not just as an outward appearance to other people, but if you're truly seeking the Lord in your heart, that will never be in vain. I can promise you that. Verse 20, Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. those false gods, they can't save anyone. Why? Because there's only one Savior. One Savior. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. That's wonderful to know. He's just declaring His sovereignty here. There's only one God. So you don't have to worry about another God coming in and deposing our God. It'll never happen because there's only one. You know, in Greek and Roman mythology, you got all these so-called gods and goddesses fighting each other. Well, that's not the way it is. There's one God and He is sovereign. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Praise God. And that's something that includes us too, because it says all the ends of the earth. Look to the Lord. Look to God and be saved. Praise the Lord. Verse 23, I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. And shall not return that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Isn't that interesting? We see this in the Old Testament scripture, God saying, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. But you know what it tells us in the New Testament? It finishes the thought. It brings clarity to it. It tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. And yes, that's what we will all do. Everyone is going to do that. We will stand before God and we will bow the knee to Jesus. Praise God. I'm looking forward to it. Praise the Lord. I know some people probably aren't, but I am. Praise God. That's going to be the best day of my life. And what's really wonderful about that is it's going to be a day that never ends. You know, we have good days and we have bad days in this life. And sometimes we'll have a really good day and we might think to ourselves, I wish this day would never end. Well, when you are in the presence of God, that day never will. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Verse 24. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. That's the thing about Judgment Day. Those who were rebellious against God, those who were incensed at him, those who refused to admit his existence. Now, I do believe that everyone knows there's a God deep down inside. But some people refuse to admit it and they declare over and over again that there is no God. Well, those people, when they stand before the Lord, they are going to be ashamed. Verse 25, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Praise the Lord. Yes, this chapter declares that our God is sovereign. This chapter declares that our God is our Maker. This chapter declares that our God is our Savior, and this chapter tells us that there is no God beside Him and no Savior beside Him. We're going to turn now to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, and we are going to begin with verse 1. And this is actually a song. We don't know the melody, but this is a song. And it's made abundantly clear that it's a song in verse 1, which tells us, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Praise God. It's wonderful to sing unto the Lord, isn't it? To make a joyful noise to the Lord. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. That's because all those other so-called gods are phonies. But He is our great God and He is our great King. But the Scriptures also tell us that Jesus is our King. Praise God. Verse 3, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land." Everything we see in nature, He made it all. The dry land, everything on it. And He made the waters, the seas, the oceans. Verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." You see, we all need to acknowledge Him as our Maker. We need to bend the knee to the Lord and acknowledge Him as our Maker, because without faith it is impossible to please Him, and he that cometh to God must believe that He is. We must believe that He is, and we come to Him just as humble human beings, knowing that we are the dust of the earth. Dust of the earth. In fact, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it tells us, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That is a miracle. That's not something that other people can do. That's not something that the devil could ever do. And if you ever want to try it, you're welcome to try. Go out there and gather a pile of dust and try to make a person out of that. You can't do it. And yet God did. You know, even if you could somehow sculpt it together so that it sort of looks like a person, it wouldn't have any breath in it. There would be no soul there. Yet God took the dust and made people out of it. He made us out of it. Created from the very dust of the ground. Oh, what a miracle. As I said before, you are a miracle. Psalm 95, verse 7 tells us, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work." You know, if those Israelites and that mixed multitude hadn't rebelled so hard against the Lord, it wouldn't have taken them 40 years to wander through that desolate wilderness into the promised land. But that is the price of rebellion. Verse 10, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, "It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." And that's very sad. And of course we know that Jesus is our rest now. And right now we have that opportunity to enter into our rest. We can all do that. We can have Jesus. It's very sad that so many people refuse it. That so many people don't want it. That so many people refuse to acknowledge their Maker. Let's look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And this is a very short psalm. It's often read on Thanksgiving Day, but you can read it every day because every day should be Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Yes, he made us, each and every one of us, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are miracles. The human body is a miracle. I'm just going to read you some facts about the human body, and there's more here than we can actually cover in one day, but consider these things about the human body that God made for us. The heart beats about 3 billion times in the average person's lifetime. 3 billion times, that heart that God gave each and every one of us. Here's another one. Our lungs inhale over 2 million liters of air every day without even thinking. The surface area of the lungs is approximately the same size as a tennis court. Our brain is more complex than the most powerful computer and has over 100 billion nerve cells. Each cell in your body has an estimated 6 to 8 feet of DNA. The total length of your circulatory system stretches an amazing 60,000 miles. That is more than twice the distance around the Earth. In 1 square inch of skin, there are 4 yards of nerve fibers, 600 pain sensors, 1,300 nerve cells, 9,000 nerve endings, 36 heat sensors, 75 pressure sensors, 100 sweat glands, 3 million cells, and 3 yards of blood vessels. That is in 1 square inch of skin. Your heart beats about 100,000 times in one day and about 40 million times in a year. In 1 hour, the heart works hard enough to produce enough energy to raise almost 1 ton of weight 1 yard from the ground. The liver is often called the body's chemical factory. Scientists have counted over 500 liver functions. The central nervous system is connected to every part of the body by 43 pairs of nerves. 12 pairs go to and from the brain, with 31 pairs going from the spinal cord. There are nearly 45 miles of nerves running through our bodies. And this one is interesting too. Messages travel along the nerves as electrical impulses. They travel at speeds up to 248 miles per hour. Now, how can people read these facts about the human body and say that we just evolved and got here by ourselves? Clearly, we have a designer. Clearly, we have a maker. The human body is a marvel. It is so complex and so, even to this day, beyond human comprehension. And yet he made us. He is our maker. We must acknowledge him as our maker. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. It tells us in Psalm 100. Verse 4 tells us in Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Praise God. Now, we see in these chapters we read that God is our maker, that he is our creator, that he is our savior. But does our maker have a name? Now, Lord That's more of a title. That's not really a name. In fact, sometimes even human beings call themselves lords. And you might even see that to this day over in England, Lord so-and-so. And we know that in the Old Testament, when we see Lord in all capital letters like that, it's referring to our God, and we refer to Him as the Lord because He is the greatest Lord in the universe. But does our Lord have a name? And some people will answer that question and say, well, yeah, it's Jehovah. You know, but actually, there's a name, a new name that we find in the New Testament that is revealed to God's people. You know, the reason you see Lord in Old Testament scripture like that is because the Jewish people were so superstitious, they were afraid to say the name of God out loud. And you will only find Jehovah a handful of times in the King James Bible. But there's a name that is greater than all other names, and I told you what it was earlier. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, I read that earlier, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. But what's really amazing is that Jesus Christ is also our Maker. He is our Creator. We are going to see that in God's Word. Let's look at John chapter 1. What is the name of your Maker? Well, let's look. We're going to find it in the Word of God. John chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so we see here that the Word is God. Now, this chapter, a little further on down, is going to tell us who that Word is. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Everything was made by the Word of God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And that was an important job, wasn't it, for John the Baptist, declaring Jesus Christ to be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He had an important job because there hadn't been any prophets in Israel for 400 years, and they weren't used to that anymore. And then along comes John the Baptist. And he told them, you need to repent. The Messiah is coming. And when Jesus came down the road one day to be baptized, he told them, this is the one that you've been waiting for. This is the one. Because it was God manifest in the flesh. God wearing a body. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe, it tells us in verse 7. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This whole universe was made by Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that doesn't just include males, it includes females too. The Bible's written in the masculine gender, but there are sons and daughters of God. So no one's excluded. If you turn to the Lord, praise God. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, God is our Maker, and we live in a fallen world, so our human bodies wear out. But when we come to God in repentance, He makes us again. He becomes our Maker again. He makes us new. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So it tells us the Word was God, and then it tells us the Word was made flesh. But it also tells us that Word of God created this entire universe. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to start with verse 1. Get a running start at this. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. And that's good. Paul obviously loved this church at Colossae very much. And they had great love for their Christian brothers and sisters, and we should too. We're supposed to love one another. The scriptures tell us that time and time again. And that is actually supposed to be one of the hallmarks of the Christian people. One of the things by which we are known. We are known by the love that we have for one another. Verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Oh, that was an exciting day for all of us, wasn't it, when we first heard the Word? First learned of His grace. First learned that we can be saved. Praise God. Verse 7, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh yes, He can make us fruitful. He's the only one who can. And we need to be fruitful for the Lord. We need His knowledge. Praise God. We need His wisdom. We need His understanding. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Remember earlier when I was talking about Enoch and how he was translated? Well, if you abide in the Lord, you're going to enjoy that same translation, translated into the kingdom of God. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. We have no other Redeemer. We have no other Savior. Jesus came to save us. He went to that cross for our sins. And He died on that cross because of our sins, to set us free. And we owe Him everything for that. But He came, our Maker, wearing a body. He came so that He could make us new again. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? The only way to see God is to see Jesus Christ. He is the image. And Hebrews chapter 1 also tells us that He is the express image of His person. There's only one image and only one person, and it's Jesus. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. What is holding this planet in the perfect spot? You know, if this planet moved too far away from the sun, we'd freeze to death. If it moved any closer, we'd burn up to death. It's in the perfect spot. What is holding it up where it is? Jesus. Who's holding up the moon and the planets and the entire solar system and the stars? Jesus. Praise God. And He created all things, and by Him all things consist, including us. That's why our bodies stay together. We all have our designs, our DNA, but He made us. He chose our features. He looked at some of you and said, you're going to have blue eyes, you're going to have brown eyes, you're going to have green eyes. He picked your hair color. He picked your skin color. But we are all created by Him. We are all pieces of art created by the Creator, made by our Maker. And we consist in Him. And the reason so many people are miserable in this world is because they do not know their Maker. But the good news is we can all know our Maker. Even today, we can all meet our Maker. Even today, down on our knees, we can talk to our Maker. So you don't have to delay to do that. And meeting your Maker doesn't have to be a scary thing. People hear that and they think, oh, that's referring to when someone dies. Go on and prepare to meet your Maker. But no, we should all meet our Maker. And we can do that today. But who is our Maker? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18 in Colossians 1 tells us that He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So whatever you may do in your life, just remember your Maker, and make sure that your Maker has the preeminence in your life. Praise God. No, we didn't get here by ourselves. We didn't make ourselves. We didn't just come from a big bang. It wasn't a big, long evolutionary process. We are God's handiwork. So remember, acknowledge Him as your Maker. Praise God. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning. Thank Thee for the knowledge we find of Thee in Thy Word. We thank Thee for the understanding that Thou givest us. We thank Thee for the knowledge that Thou art our Savior, that Thou art our Maker, that Thou art our God. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast revealed Thy name to us. We thank Thee that Thou hast revealed Thyself to us. We thank Thee that we can know our Maker, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would be upon each and every one of us. Help us, O God, to abide in faith, to believe on Thee, to be obedient to Thy call and the prompting of Thy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that Thou would show us Thy ways and help us to dwell in Thee. We pray, Lord, that we would always walk with Thee day and night and never forsake our Maker, but be with us even for the entirety of our lives, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be Jesus. We are going to open our chorus books in closing to number 185, and we're going to sing, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do." Number 185. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do. The rivers are His, the mountains are His, and the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do. The rivers are His, the mountains are His, and the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do. The rivers are His, the mountains are His, and the skies are His handiwork. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, nothing that He cannot do. Praise the Lord. Thank You. Praise. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.